The day has just been sucked into some abyss, and there's very little of it left. I've decided to scrap the epic list of things I really had to do, and just get on top of my emails, of which there are plenty. I've just had an email come through with a lot of questions for an interview. I think it's for World of Imaging magazine. So rather than write, which I'm not that good at, it takes me a long time to formulate a sentence from having it in my head, I thought I would just spill them out of my head into this recording and then post a link to the recording back in the email. Is that lazy or just the correct use of multimedia for someone who uses multimedia? So here are the questions based on photography, asking me as a photographer. Initially, I will say that yes, I guess I still am a photographer, actively taking pictures in connection with my work, still having pictures published, doing a lot of self-publishing, I must admit. But I think, as with a lot of photographers nowadays, I've diversified into other mediums to document what's around me. First question: which social networking sites do I use for pictures or feel help me as a photographer? Well, initially, I got a lot of help from a site called photosig.com. That's photo SIG, special interest group, I think it meant. And this was a kind of one of the first social networking platforms outside of forums that I was involved in. And I would post my favorite or the images I was most proud of onto this group, and they would be critiqued very creatively and professionally by a lot of people around there, and I could go and vote on other people's photographs and rate other people's photographs, and they would rate mine. And there was obviously an element of anality in there, people being very anal about other people's shots or not liking a shot for a certain reason. But it really taught me that I didn't necessarily know what was a good, in inverted commas, photograph compared to what the general public might think is a good photograph. And it wasn't until I became confident in my own eye and deciding that, well, hang on, maybe I don't necessarily want other people telling me what they think is good, and I'm just going to throw stuff out there and formulate my style, that I moved on from that site. I guess I came into photography a little bit weirdly compared to most. I effectively just walked into a newspaper and said, I'm a photographer, and luckily, due to a terrible accident, which isn't lucky for the person involved, I got a job, a full-time job, on a local weekly, and ended up on the dailies within 3 months, having been headhunted not for my photography, but my ability to jump from canal boat to capture an image of David Suchet. I think they saw me working, saw I was confident in the field, didn't mind taking a risk. Even if it meant falling in a river, it was my own camera equipment, canal, sorry. And that got me, I guess, cherry-picked. 2 years later, when I left the Daily Newspaper, which incidentally was the Chronicle and Echo in Northampton, to go freelance, it was, I think, on my last day, they realised I had no qualifications in journalism or photography. So obviously, I was taking okay pictures, as otherwise I wouldn't have lasted that long. But a lot of photography is not just about the picture you're taking, especially if you're working for a newspaper. It's about whether you've got the gift of the gab, whether you can make somebody feel comfortable, whether you can get to the place where the photograph needs to be taken. There's so many other facets that you need to think about if you want to be a photographer. Have any of these sites made it easy for me to make the jump from amateur to pro? Now, a lot of people think of amateur being the level beneath pro. Just because you're being paid for your images doesn't necessarily make you a better photographer. A lot of the photographers I really admire online are not getting paid, because as soon as you start getting paid for photography, it becomes a job, and I think you lose an element of that passion unless you really, really can maintain it through the barrage of abuse from whoever is asking you to do whatever with your camera. By kind of putting photography on the back burner and using it as one of the tools in my collection, then I've regained a passion in it, and it's actually improved my photography because of that. So this amateur pro thing is kind of a weird one. But making the jump, as you say, it was more of an accidental step. Like I say, I knew nothing about photography when I became a photographer. I knew, you know, the more I get to know about it, the more I realise I don't know about it. But being a part of these sites definitely enabled me to talk to other photographers and see other photographers who are working and thinking, well, hang on, that image isn't any better than something I would take, yet this person is working for a reputable publication. So yes, I guess it would definitely have given me the confidence to continue in what I was doing. Are there any risks associated with these sites? No more than any risks, I guess, where you're commenting and talking and sharing and communicating with others online. I don't think there are any risks at all. If you're talking about copyrights, then that's a completely different subject. I think comes up in a question later on. Do you think that these sites should be better communicated to amateurs or people new to the business, and how? Well, I think that anybody involved or who wants to be involved in photography now on a professional level really needs to be involved in sites like Flickr, and which was a site I came to, I guess, later on when I started wanting to put some of the photographs that I was proud of on my website, but wanted to cut corners and have a Flickr gallery embedded within my website. Lots of tools enabling you to share your images. And when I had my own website, I used to put copyrightchristianpayne.com all over the images for fear of people stealing them. But that just gets in the way of the image. It just makes you look really protective and not willing to share what you've taken. And I quickly came to stop doing that. And yes, I'd keep my information embedded in the metadata, but there are applications and bits and bobs out there now to help you track where your photos are, and I'll talk about that in a moment. So I think that anybody who's serious about photography cannot help but come across sites like Flickr and other social photo sharing platforms. A lot of people seem to be sharing photographs on Facebook, but this is more just image taking and throwing it out there. My top tips for using online platforms would be: try not to be too anal over what you're putting out there. I've got two separate Flickr accounts. One that kind of backs up the images from blogs, which are just images snapped and grabbed from my mobile phone. And another Flickr account which has photography I'm kind of more serious about in my mind. But I'm trying to merge these two now, because I'm realizing that once you've kind of paid the little bit of money, and it's well worth it to update. Although I must give a head nod to Hedgewitch, thank you very much for donating and actually upgrading my Flickr account to a pro account for this last year. You can gift people a pro account if you have the money and you love someone's photography. It's a wonderful gesture. With a pro account, you can create countless sets, and by organising your photographs into sets, you can keep your phone photography separate from your Leica photography or your professional SLR photography. You don't need to be so worried about that. I like the idea of having a constant stream, a timeline of images, and whether they come from mobile devices, which are getting much, much better or not, you know, who really cares? Mostly the photographer being very protective over their image. Now, we're getting less worried, I think, about image, or at least we should be. Even the great prestigious agency like Magnum is becoming more open and transparent and saying, hey, you know, maybe some of the best photographers in the world connected with us. We're all still human beings. We all still make mistakes. And this is the great thing about social media and social networking, and how that is helping us all change. You know, on my first incarnation, it might even be knocking around somewhere online, of christianpayne.com, I took a photograph of a nice building and photoshopped christianpayne.com onto the outside of the building to pretend I had a studio. The studio I had someone else's name on, the one that I would use. So that's how much I wanted to show that I was serious about what I do. Well, people can see how serious you are by looking at your streamed workflow, or simply the quality of your images, or if people are talking about you online, or what kind of respect you're getting from people liking or favouriting your pictures. So, What's the future of photography online? That's a massive question. And if I guess I knew the larger sections of that, I would be investing in certain platforms. I think it's going to become even more prolific as we find it even easier to post photography online. I've probably doubled my posting of photography online since finding the website blogging platform called Posterous, which enables me just to literally look at one of my photographs on my phone in the phone gallery and click send to email, bang, couple of words, and it's blogged. I'm doing way more of that than posting photographs anywhere else. 90% of my photography now is taken with my iPhone. I forced myself yesterday to buy a black and white film for my Leica camera because it's just sitting there like a £1,000 paperweight. So, what's the future of photography online? There's going to be a lot more of it. I'd like to see the still image be showcased just as much as the moving image. If you think about how we tend to, instead of Googling stuff, look on YouTube quite a lot. I tend to, when I'm Googling stuff, click for the images as well and then see the web page attached to that. I'd like for that to be easier, and I think with more people taking images, deep tagging of and pixel fingerprinting of what's going on within that image is definitely going to be an element in the future so that you can see where else that image exists. We have the platforms now. Facebook, as I've mentioned before, has been definitely reviving a public interest in image taking. The question I have here is, social networks such as Facebook have been said to revive the public interest in photography. What is my opinion on this? It's more about image taking. I don't necessarily think a lot of the people involved in posting pictures to Facebook are thinking about photography. They're thinking about grabbing moments, grabbing instances. It wasn't until a couple of days ago I was reminded of how thoughtful and pensive and slow a lot of the actual photographic processes of some of the greats out there really is. I was in the Magnum offices, isn't in London, and I was talking to Jinx Roger, the wife of one of the founders of the Magnum agency, and it was quite interesting listening to how she explained her husband would take photographs, and it reminded me that I am just an image grabber. I'd steal this moment and share, and grab this moment and share. And that's a lot of what you will see on Facebook or going up into Twitter. It's the few people that do just take a moment and think about composition, and it might be pre-programmed into a lot of my friends' minds who are photographers without even thinking, really, this would make a great image because of this, 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 and this, and all those things come together. I know it's mostly semantics what I'm talking about now, but that, for me, I think, is photography. Maybe we need to have different versions of the word for what image taking is becoming as we find it easier and quicker to share snatched moments. Finally, the question here, how do I feel about sites like Flickr where pictures are sometimes copied from without any nod to copyright? Interestingly, since really dialing down the amount of photographic assignments that I do, because they tend to be incorporated into my multimedia documenting, I found that I can earn more money from photography by tracking those people stealing my images from the online platforms. Take, for example, Flickr, and using applications like tineye.com, T-I-N-E-Y-E, used to be called tineye.org. They're obviously doing a lot better, or they've got some funding, they've bought the .com. And by, I guess, searching for the similar pixel fingerprint of your image, you can find out, providing that image has been online for a while, because the internet's a very big place and it's still being archived by applications like this, you will find where that image has existed elsewhere. And I have found major publications, like The Independent, to name one, that have taken the image without asking. So I invoice them, and I invoice them more than I would have invoiced them if they'd respectfully come to me and said, we really like the fact that you've got this image here. It really suits our purpose. Can we purchase it for you? Sure, yeah, no problem, £50 or whatever the going rate is, rather than £300 because you stole it. So think about it. If you are a publication looking for images online, ask the photographer. You just treat the photographer fairly and you'll get a fair price and you'll get to use the image and everything's legal and above board. I see Getty have now plugged into Flickr, and a lot of photographers may go, oh no, Getty, which is effectively the photographer killer, as more and more images become available online for a fraction of the cost, and photography is becoming almost, unless you've got that one image that no one else can get, photography is becoming very cheap, and a lot of photographers are struggling right now because of this, especially if you're shooting for stock. There's so much stock photography out there that you can pick up for pennies. I'm amazed anybody would still really take the time, unless you become an image factory, just churning out pictures of eggs on a table or trees in a field or whatever it is stock photographers go out and do. I don't know how, by being an image factory, you could remain passionate about what you're doing. This is why I think the future of photography for the freelancer or the professional will have to be the inclusion of multimedia. Will have to be having the ability to use your framing skills to grab a bit of video, to record a bit of audio, to interview as well as photograph, to post in real time and know about the technology that's available to ensure that you remain connected. It's no accident that I guess I've found myself in a position where I'm teaching this and I'm assisting people to do this right now. If the future of journalism in particular is networked intelligence, it's important for us all to learn how to network, how to enhance our skills, increase our skills, and become multifaceted. The internet is a multifaceted beast, and if we're going to feed this platform, which it seems most content is going nowadays, we need to know exactly what to feed it. And the more you can get your teeth into, the more you can supply. So that's my thoughts. This is probably an incredibly long recording now. 17 minutes and continuing onwards. If you've listened this far, respect is due. This is just me throwing down my thoughts after receiving an email. I hope it was interesting to some. Cheers. Right, I'm going to post this to the internet now, and I'm going to add a photograph of myself, which was taken by, credit where credit's due, to the photographer, Brian Jones. He is I Am Brian Jones on Twitter. And if you want to find me on Twitter, I'm Documentally, with two L's. Or you can go to documentally.com or christianpayne.com. Thanks for listening.